Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
This is Pop Wilfong.
I'm Joe Canale.
I'm Ryan Tweedy.
I'm Pat Jansen.
And Mike Canale.
All right, so you know who's here now.
For Nebraska and the Scarlet.
From Van Nuys, California.
About 15 miles away from Hollywood, California.
It's the Big Red Copcast.
Hey, welcome to Big Red Copcast. I'm Ryan.
I'm Pat.
And today, it is Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The day of the Iowa game.
Yeah, everyone will know the result by the time this airs.
Yep. A lot of big things happening today, actually.
Yeah, that we'll all know. We'll all know whether Cam Jones is in.
Is in, which I think he is, unless some shady business happens.
We'll all know whether Nebraska's NCAA tournament hopes are completely kaput.
Do we have to pretty much win out to get into the tourney?
No, but we can't really afford many more. So the Nebraska basketball schedule right now shakes up as this. Because the Big Ten isn't very good this year, there aren't many more.
It's about to get worse because Izzo's going to get.
Oh, man. There aren't many more good teams left on the schedule. And really, our biggest fish left was Ohio State. But there are some teams, you know, that have talent but have bad years right now this year, like Wisconsin. Those games, so winning out, not necessarily, but, you know, if we lose at Wisconsin or if we lose to Iowa, those types of things can really sink your NCAA tournament resume. Because we've already got a couple not great losses, yeah.
Yeah.
And we've got to start winning some road games. Right now, we've basically got, I think, two road wins. The home court advantage at Pinnacle Bank Arena is great, but you don't get to play home games in the NCAA tournament, so they look for how you can do on neutral and neutral site and road games, and Nebraska's not great away from home this year.
Did we have a tough road schedule comparatively?
Well, I mean, at Michigan State is hard, at Ohio State is hard, but I mean, no, not really. I mean, you don't expect to win those games, but you should expect to win at Penn State. So I mean, you hope to not lose a neutral site game against Central Florida. So I mean, it's not out of the realm of possible. I mean, we've beaten Michigan State on the road before. Granted, this is a better Michigan State team than some of those that we beat. But, yeah, I mean, we're just going to have to win games right now and
right.
Hope that some of the right teams lose. And then, you know, hopefully that we have a halfway decent Big Ten tournament and that just kind of puts everything. If we get the 20 wins in the regular season and then make it, I'd say, I mean, if we're able to get to the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament, that should get us in. But right now, our biggest win is Michigan. And that was a home win. And Michigan is probably the last of the Big Ten teams in the tournament right now. It's pretty top-heavy because Michigan State, Purdue, and I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. We've got three teams that are
Michigan?
No.
Wasn't Michigan, like, ranked and then we just, like, trounced them? Weren't they ranked, like, 20?
They were ranked, yeah. Oh, Ohio State. So, yeah, Michigan State, Purdue, and Ohio State are all possibly one or two seeds in the NCAA tournament. Michigan is kind of in that 8-9 seed, and it's four brackets of 16 teams. So, I mean, that's still a good win, but yeah, basically the Big Ten right now, if you were to read bracketology, you'd have three teams with a possibility of a one seed, Michigan kind of in that mid-level NCAA tournament team, and that's it. Normally the Big Ten is threatening to get half the league in there. It might just be four teams this year.
Cool.
Yeah. It's a down league, which gives Nebraska a chance, but also hurts Nebraska's chances. It's a catch-22 kind of thing. But you just got to win games.
Right. And hopefully they beat Iowa tonight, because nothing sucks worse than losing to Iowa, period.
Oh, man. This will either age well or poorly.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But the good news, I would say, if the one thing that working on our side tonight is that Iowa sucks.
Yeah.
In everything.
I will say this. I'm going to build in the excuse right now. This is, scheduling-wise, a terrible time for Nebraska, and it could be a time that gets Nebraska just kind of, like, bit in the ass. I even brought up the schedule to my wife, who doesn't follow sports, and she's like, Jesus, who made that schedule? I was like, the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Four games in a week, man. That's tough.
I don't know, man. How many games does the Cleveland Cavaliers play in a week?
Two to three. Or probably about three.
So tough it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I watched an NBA game this week. Got to go see my Celtics play the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Your wife got you that for your anniversary, yeah?
Yeah. Our anniversary was in December, but she got me the tickets for because I've never gotten to see the Celtics in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Was Larry Bird there?
He was not.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Kyrie Irving was, though.
Okay. I saw, I thought he was Russian for the longest time, but apparently he's mixed.
Who?
The guy that, the star player for the Cavs. No, not the Cavs. The Clippers.
The Clippers? Blake Griffin?
Yeah, I thought Blake Griffin was Russian for several years.
He's got, I believe, one African-American parent and one white parent, and yeah. He's from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
You thought he was Russian?
Yeah, I don't know why. Every time I saw him, I was like, damn, that Russian dude is on fire.
Makes me laugh.
And Irina would be like, I don't think he's a Russian. And I was like, no, trust me, I can spot a Russian.
I think Blake Griffin is probably the least Russian looking person I've ever
seen.
I don't
know, man. He looks Russian to me, dude. but now that I know he's mixed, I'm like, oh, yeah, I see that also. But that being said, could be both. There's nothing that says you can't be half black, half white, and Russian.
I mean, you just listed three things and said two of them were half, so that feels like an impossibility.
Well, no, but I'm saying, like, if born in Russia, like, if I...
Okay, you know, I gotcha.
If me and Irina lived in Russian and I was black...
A lot of hypotheticals here.
Well, but I'm saying, and we gave birth to a 7-foot-tall guy...
You could have Blake Griffin as your partially Russian child.
And I would immediately quit this podcast because I would not need to do shit ever again.
I remember when he played at Oklahoma and in the NCAA tournament, he's such a leaper that he hit the side of his head on the side of the backboard.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. And also, man, control your jumping.
Yeah, no shit.
No wonder you got concussion issues.
Should I put this up top?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to put it up top just so people, in case people don't listen all the way through.
Okay. I mean, we're probably more than up top now.
It's only 7 minutes deep.
Okay.
Okay, so I want everybody's help. Pat thinks this is a good idea. I want to do a Nebraska workout with Zach Duvall and see how long I can last without puking. But there's no way he's going to just let me tweet at him a bunch and do it. So I need everybody's help to tweet at him with hashtag make Tweety puke. Hashtag make Tweety puke. At Zach Duvall.
And include either Tweety or the Big Red Cobcast Twitter.
Yeah, include the Big Red Cobcast Twitter in that too. Just so he knows who we are.
Yeah, so he doesn't think it's like a bunch of random people trying to get some other random person to puke. Even though, I mean, it is essentially... The gist
of it.
But so there's some sort of through line.
because, well, one, like, I've always just wondered what that workout's like. I saw, like, what's-his-name do it briefly for, like, 5 minutes once. The guy from Workaholics, Adam Devine.
Adam Devine. He did Zach Duvall's workout?
No, he did Mark Phillips' workout.
Oh.
But he was basically just doing, like, squat high wall balls and push-ups.
Because Mark Phillips didn't want to kill Adam Devine.
Adam Devine's a pretty in-shape dude, from what I understand.
Yeah?
At least he used to be. Huh. But either way, I mean, he's not like, you know, he's not like me. But but no, but my point is that he did 5 minutes and gave up. I guarantee you I can do squat high wall balls for like 15, 20 minutes.
You've seen Adam Devine in person at the Husker Bar?
Yeah. Blackout drunk. Boy, howdy. Not me, him.
I wasn't out here yet at that point.
You weren't?
No.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was Chase that was with us. Yeah. Yeah, he was cool, man. At the beginning of the night, he was really, really fun. And my wife... was the first time I've ever seen her starstruck.
Yeah?
Yeah, she doesn't really get starstruck. And she asked him for a picture, and then I felt really bad because that's annoying. So I bought him a pitcher of beer, like a pitcher for a picture. And then he drank that pitcher of beer, and that was the last I spoke to him. And then I had to leave because it was during the Michigan State game where we almost came back and the guy dropped the ball in the end zone. Was it Stanley Morgan?
No, Alonzo Moore.
Alonzo Moore. And
Stanley was not part of the team yet at that point.
Wasn't he? Are you
sure
he wasn't a freshman?
DeMornay was a freshman that year.
Okay. I had to run to a show, and then as I'm leaving the show, was when they dropped that ball.
Yeah.
So I ran back to try to catch the ending of it, and apparently while it was gone, my friend Chase started hitting on a girl at that table, and it ended up being Adam Devine's sister.
Nice.
So that wasn't good, I guess.
Probably not.
Probably not. And then I went up to talk to him and just be like, hey, man. You know, I'm a huge fan, just because, why not? He was blackout drunk.
Happens.
Had no idea until I started talking to him. I was like, oh, you're not here. All right, see you later, buddy.
I think the most famous person at the Husker Bar while I've been here was Keyshawn Johnson Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Before he was officially, I mean, he had committed long to that point, but, you know, hadn't been able to sign a letter of intent just yet. And that was weird, seeing a high school kid and one of his high school teammates show up at the bar. He looked very uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, he was just immediately getting hounded by everybody.
Mainly one guy.
But that one guy was introducing him to everybody. And,
yeah.
And, yeah, dude, don't do that. That's weird. He's 17 years old.
Yeah. He's got a team now.
Arizona?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect for him.
That's good for him.
Yeah, weed's legal.
Is it in Arizona?
Isn't it?
I don't know.
It might as well be.
I mean, pretty soon there will be more states where it is than where it isn't.
As soon as they see how much money California's making, they're going to be like, oh, shit.
I mean, even Colorado.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Think about how much Colorado, like almost $1 billion.
To be fair, though.
$1.2 billion or something like that.
Nebraska's making a lot of money off that, too, because they're just camping out at the border.
I guarantee they're not making $1 billion on those tickets.
They're dinging people for fines all the time, man.
Yeah, but those fines are $100. That's saying that for every five people that buy a bag of weed in Colorado, they're dinging someone. That's just not accurate.
But how much of that tax dollar goes to Colorado?
They made $1.2 billion in taxes, I think.
Oh, geez.
God, is that right? Am I making that number up?
That feels made up.
No, it's...
That's a lot of money.
It's an astronomical amount of money.
Because that means...
And that's Colorado.
Because that means they're probably making $11 billion in just revenue.
It's single-handedly going to save America.
Hmm. Because if they're making $1.2 billion in tax... The amount of actual revenue has got to be at least 10 times
that. You want to know how much they're taxing weed in L.A.?
What?
If you don't have a prescription, 30%. So if you buy an eighth of weed, right? For those of you that don't know how this works, an eighth of weed is like your standard normal amount of weed to buy.
That actually is useful knowledge to me because I'm
an ounce of weed is a lot.
I'm the ignorant one here.
Right. But an eighth of weed is like you and your buddy can get high for a couple of days, right? So you buy an eighth of weed. It's like out in L.A. because the weed out here is so good. So fucking good. It's crazy. Like, it's better than Colorado's weed.
You're gonna have to bleep yourself.
Yeah. That means that it used to cost you about, it was, I think it was like 35 to 40 to 50, depending on how good it was, an eighth. At 30%, you're now paying 65 for an eighth. That's how much you used to have to pay in Nebraska in the 90s when somebody like brought it in from LA, like stuff that was like, oh my God, like that's, it's crazy. Taxing is nuts. They're going to make so much money in California. Dude, think about this. If they legalized weed in Nebraska and the frost effect happened, we're never going to lose another game again.
Why?
Why?
Because you think that's going to bring recruits in?
I don't know. I just said it.
Because there are also a lot of people who are like, we got to smoke this out of the team, no pun intended.
Right, which I agree. I think that if you're an athlete, you're probably not as good of an athlete when you're stoned, even though people are going to be like, well, look at
Randy Moss.
You mean Randy Gregory?
Well, there's also Randy Moss, who loved weed as well.
Oh, but then there's who's the homeboy that quit because they wouldn't let him smoke weed with the dreads, played running back.
Oh, Ricky Williams. Well, he came back eventually, and he didn't have dreads anymore. He went over to Asia for a little while.
And then he came back and played for the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, if they didn't smoke weed, they would have been better athletes. So think about how good they could have been.
I mean, there's always the comparison to of that to like jacking yourself full of painkillers too.
I don't know, man. It doesn't really kill pain. Maybe it relaxes muscles. I could see it making you less sore.
Yeah,
but it's not gonna like if you have a broken arm, it ain't gonna help.
Well, neither will painkillers either.
Well, I mean, morphine would. Yeah, if you guys have any weed questions, just send them to at I'm Tweety.
And at Weezalicious.
He's probably got you've
me. If you have any questions about what it's like to not know anything about weed, you can send them to at the Pat Jansen.
Yeah, that's a good one. Anyways, my point is, so everybody tweet at Zach Duvall.
Oh, that's how we got there.
Yeah, tell him, make Tweety puke.
Okay. So,
this is probably a good segue to the rumors.
It's winter conditioning. People have been really, really excited about that because I think people think there's room for a huge jump from where Nebraska was conditioned before to now because, you know, the Riley coaching staff was fairly lax.
Right.
And so people have been really excited about that. But then, some rumors started flying this week because of a tweet from Tyjon Lindsey.
Right.
Where he was undergoing some health problems.
He was in the hospital, and he said, like, pray for me.
Mm-hmm. And people kind of started to connect the dots and think that it was an overtraining issue, which Oregon got raked over the coals for when Willie Taggart came in.
And then so did Iowa last year.
Yeah.
And it's called, what's the full name of it?
Rhabdomyosis
or rhabdo-delicious?
Hang on. I'm going to get
rhabdomyolysis.
It here. I think that's pretty close.
I think so too.
I Googled it this week.
To see how to spell it?
Rhabdomyolysis.
Rhabdomyolysis.
There we go.
Better known as rhabdo.
Yeah.
So I asked my trainer this week. I said, hey, man, you ever heard of rhabdo? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, rumor has it that maybe, and I want to put a huge amount of like.
Yeah, we don't want to make anything that's unsubstantiated become a real thing.
Here. I don't think it's real.
But we're also not journalists, so
right
there we go.
Yeah, and until you show me evidence that it's real, I don't believe you. But we're still going to talk about it because it's fucking or freaking.
That's two.
I caught the second one. I feel like I should get like a couple gimmies a show.
All right,
you know, like
one. You get one.
Okay, that second one though, I didn't really finish.
Okay, you said the whole word.
I don't think I did.
Okay, go on.
No one would have noticed if you wouldn't have pointed at it out.
It's all right.
And so I said, the rumor has it some of the kids got rhabdo. And he goes, Jesus. That was his response. So apparently it sucks and it's hard to do, to get.
But I also, again, as a non-rhabdo expert, or as I like to say, as a non-rhabdomyolysis expert,
right.
Don't some of the other parts of being in shape have an effect on that? Like
nutrition,
hydration, sleep. You would think, I mean, I'm sure these guys have all pushed themselves to the brink here, but I don't think it's probably just the workout.
Right. I think there's a lot more to it. And there's a lot of things that, the thing that I don't like is that what we've been reading on like forums and just talking to people on the street, you know, as we do.
Twitter. That's where the bulk of my information has come from.
Pat's dad. is that people are like blaming Zach Duvall for it and stuff. And they're like, want his head. I mean, not literally want his head, because if you guys get Zach Duvall fired, I'll hate every one of you. I don't know, man. You can't make a recruit hydrate. You can't make him sleep. You can't make him. And let's be honest, man. What's something college kids do a lot? What are the top three things college kids do?
Drink.
Uh-huh.
Smoke weed.
Okay.
Have sex.
Yeah, those three things. All three of those things.
Study.
Yeah. Nobody studies. Except for Pat.
Ride scooters. I almost get run over on skateboards on the college campus where I work daily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Are you allowed to say where you work yet?
I've said it on the podcast
have
before.
You?
People know.
Okay. It wouldn't be that hard to figure out. There's only like three to choose from. It's not like you drive up to Stanford every day.
No, I mean there are other. I mean, there's also Mount St. Mary's
or
Occidental.
True.
You could drive to Malibu and work at Pepperdine.
Yeah, I guess you could do all those. if you drink, you're gonna be dehydrated. And there's actually been studies out that say it takes like 3 days for your body to make up what you lose in one night of binge drinking.
I'd believe that.
So let's say you went out on Saturday night and got super wasted, and then Monday morning you go in and do the hardest workout of your life, and you're competitive. I mean, like, I know, like, so me, right? I'm not an athlete by any means, like, but I do work out a lot. I love working out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. And I've pushed myself to puking on more than one occasion. And it's never, ever been my trainer's fault. He put the workout on the board. He set the time cap. And if I start to slack, he'll say, all right, let's go. Come on. You got 8 minutes left. 8 minutes left. He'll do that kind of stuff, right? But he doesn't – And it's funny, I said 8 minutes left. It was like an 8.5 minute workout. It took me 30 seconds to puke. No, I'm kidding. But my point is that never was it his fault. So it's my own competitive nature of looking at the other scores on the board and being, I got to beat that score.
Just to
play devil's advocate?
Well, there is a difference, because you're paying this guy.
Right.
It's a service for you to get in shape. Not only
it's not a service for me to get in shape.
Well,
it's a service for me to get out that competitive nature inside of me and something every day, or I'd go crazy.
But not only, but so you're competitive with yourself, but then
I'm also competitive with every other. I don't care if it's the single mother.
But it's an inner competition thing. There's nothing.
Let me finish that so that I don't end on single mother.
Okay.
Or the 300-pound dude that can squat 400 pounds. I compete with both of them.
Okay, but. There's
I lose to both of them.
There's nothing won or lost besides your own pride if you don't beat the single mother, or I should actually probably rephrase that as well.
Yeah.
If you don't outlast these other people.
Right.
There's something more at stake for a guy in these workouts on the Husker football team. Because there could be starting jobs,
yeah.
Scholarships, paths to the NFL,
right.
Kind of all at stake here.
A guy like Tyjon Lindsey's very little.
Right.
I'm not
he's
sure if
gotta,
that matters.
He's got to prove himself. Like, if he, especially too, because it's a new coaching staff, this is a, I mean, I think the competition is more than...
But what about the... Here's my question, and I know that there's going to be people that are listening, they're going to go, what an asshole.
But I mean, they've probably already said that anyway.
You think so? Because I compete with a single mother? And I whoop her ass, dude. I whoop her ass so hard. And I, like, laugh
at her. I think we've
her.
Both gotten it from...
I laugh at her, too, when I'm beating her. I'm like, you are weak. Like, yeah, I don't do that. I'm kidding. But no, oh, man, I just joked myself out of a thought. Damn it.
Oh.
I do that all the time.
Well, people think you're gonna. People are going to think you're an asshole.
Oh. So what about the other 111 people that didn't do it? One person didn't pass the beep test. Everybody else passed it.
That was not Tyjon Lindsey.
And that was not Tyjon Lindsey, or he wouldn't have been able to do the workout, right? So he goes in, he does it, and then he gets rhabdo, speculatively, right? Like, we don't know this for a fact.
Right.
This is all speculative. He may have just had the flu. For
we should also probably clarify what rhabdo is to people. It's like where your kidneys fail because
your body starts breaking down muscle and the
You've overworked yourself
and you start poisoning your liver, basically.
Right. Go on.
But also, like, everybody recovers from it, nobody dies. Unless you're old or a baby. And right. Also, if you're working out a baby that hard, shame on you. You know?
Hey man, you gotta get started on those organized sports a lot sooner these days.
But okay, well, that's true. So why did the other 111 not fail? Is it like a thing where it's just a fluke inside their body? Like maybe Tyjon Lindsey doesn't, so it's not Tyjon's fault?
There can be a genetic predisposition to
right,
it.
Maybe there is. So maybe that's it, and if that's the case, then I'm an asshole. But if it's not the case, why is he so out of shape? Why is he coming into these workouts so out of shape that he gets it?
I don't know. I'm
not a doctor, and I know nothing.
I posed all this, so but like this is on me. But like, there's so much unknown,
like what everything means.
yes, that it's probably not worth our time to speculate too much on all of it. But it caught everyone's eye. Like if you're on Husker Twitter stuff, seeing Tyjon Lindsey with that, I mean. He's a guy who could be a big key to Nebraska's success this year.
Right.
And it caught everybody's eye. And it's one of those things, too, if you're a program trying to build that sort of trust and that atmosphere and environment that Scott Frost and staff had at UCF, a big part of that is, you know, coming together in the winter conditioning and all that. And Zach Duvall is considered a big part of that. And if you somehow lose the trust of guys that you've got them in safe hands, that makes that a lot more fragile.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a notable thing potentially.
Like Zach Duvall. So like, to me, what it seems like is they say that when you go to prison, the first guy that eyes you improperly, you jump up and you whoop his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody messes with you ever again. Right. It feels like this is the, like, CrossFit version of that, where Zach Duvall was like, you know what? I'm just going to punch you guys in the mouth, and then the weak ones are going to fall away.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a little even more devious than that. Maybe it's we know there's people on this team that are probably going to get processed. We don't want to process them, right?
But Tyjon Lindsey would not be one of your candidates for processing.
He wouldn't. But... You know, so maybe it's like, well, let's work their asses off, and then the ones that are soft that we don't want on the team, maybe they'll just, you know, go through attrition anyways.
Yeah.
If you can make them scared to stay on the team, or maybe it's just that our team is soft because the old regimen was soft, and maybe Mark Phillips was soft, and maybe I shouldn't have stuck up for him so hard, but I really liked his energy.
Yeah. Well, and it also sounds too like. What he wanted to do and could do was kind of negated by the staff a little bit.
Right.
But
especially Diaco when he came in that last
year. Yeah. To go, well, he apparently was making dudes run long distance.
O-linemen.
Yeah.
There's no need for O-linemen to run long distances.
There's no need for anybody on a football team to run a mile consecutively.
I don't know if I agree with that.
It's all short burst. Like the longest you're going to run
is 100 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah, but here's
and that's
the,
a
here's
sprint.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. So if you want to get better at, say, let me try to think of a good example. If you want to get better at the bench press, right? One thing you can do is push-ups. If you want to get better at running sprints, one thing you can do is run a mile. If you want to get better at running a mile, one thing you can do is run sprints. Like, they all work together. And I'm no expert, but I know enough that running a mile ain't going to hurt nobody. Everybody should be able to run a mile.
Right.
You can't run a mile, you're going to get eaten.
It shouldn't be a thing that you do a lot as a football player, because, I mean, it is a different use of those muscles. I ran distance for a long time. Mm-hmm. I could tell you I wasn't much of a sprinter. But
that's because you didn't sprint.
Right. That's why you focus on the sprinting if you're a short
burst
sport.
But I'll tell you right now that if you wanted to have a better mile, you should have been doing sprints.
No, I did sprints.
I know enough about running to know that.
I did sprints to accommodate the mile, but I didn't know many sprinters who were doing the mile to accommodate their sprints.
Well, it happens.
I mean, I think if you run the 100, it doesn't hurt you to run a 200 or a 400 occasionally.
Yeah, if you want to get a faster mile, the best way to get a faster mile time is to run 2 miles.
Well, you build up the distance, and then you also build up the speed as well.
Right, because which is where the sprint comes in.
If you run a mile and then just run 10 miles, you're not going to become a very good mile.
Well, and that's the thing. A marathon running is a little bit different. I'm not talking about guys that run 3-4 miles. I'm talking about running a mile. I'm talking about running 1,600 meters. That is not that hard to do. That's an 8-minute workout. I mean, if you're an O-lineman. If you're an O-lineman for Nebraska, you should be able to run like an 8-9-minute mile.
That's fair.
You know, that's not
hard. I mean,
that's
a lot of weight you're trudging around.
Yeah,
but
I used to work out with guys who were 350 pounds that never ran before that were running 10, 11-minute miles. So if I mean, like this guy named Craig, he was a meter maid. And he would come in, and I remember we would run with him because we wanted to get him up there. So we would go run with him, and so I timed him myself. He'd run 10 and a half, 11-minute miles in the start. So if he can do that at 300 pounds of sloppy weight, I guarantee you an O lineman should be able to run an 8-9 minute mile, man.
That's fair.
And I'm not a trainer. I'm not, you know, Zach Duvall knows it better than me, but it ain't gonna hurt nobody to run a mile.
Yeah, I don't think we'll probably see much of that right, though, with the current staff. So you brought up a thing that we gleaned a lot of this not just from Twitter, but from message boards. Like the message boards on HuskerMax.com.
HuskerMax.com.
I've been spending a lot of time on there lately.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Some good information. And you can
get read it for free.
Yeah.
Unlike the other ones.
Is that free?
You can read it for free.
Oh, read it for free.
You can't comment on it for free.
But you can also read our articles and get our podcasts for free every week on there. So do that. HuskerMax.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I don't think we'd mentioned that yet today.
Yeah. And let me go. I want to go back because people are going to think I contradicted myself. I don't think you need to have offensive linemen running a mile every day.
You just don't think it's...
I just don't think it's out of the realm of, like, every once in a while, let's make them fat boys run a mile. You know, I mean, it's good for everybody to run a mile.
Yeah. No, I'm not denying that.
Okay. Because I started off with saying, with making fun of them.
If it's a big part of your conditioning.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's fast twitch kind of stuff with football. And
sprinting.
A big part apparently of the UCF training regimen was that these guys would be so, everything is so fast station to station, everything's quick paced, even the warm ups to where like
they're doing CrossFit.
If you do a warm up, you're already tired if you haven't done anything like that before.
Right.
And
oh yeah, the warm ups, dude, are sometimes vicious.
Yeah.
Because they're like 8 minutes of like nonstop
movement. Yeah. And so I mean, that's the part that sounds very different.
I don't know what the actual definition of CrossFit is, because what I do, they say, isn't CrossFit, like, so I don't know if they're doing exactly what CrossFit is, but they're doing some sort of like circuit training, it sounds like.
Yeah,
circuit training is no joke.
No,
if you don't think 20 seconds is a long time, do a Tabata. You know, and then you'll start to realize, like, oh, shit, 20 seconds can feel like an eternity. Like, so if they're doing stuff like that, like, that's hard. But I mean, I don't know. I don't see why. It's not that hard. Like, it's not, I mean.
But, I mean, a kid ended up in the hospital.
But I want to know what he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dehydration? Is that what, I mean, what was he in there for?
That's what I suspect. Is it really
rhabdo? I just don't, if it was rhabdo, you'd think we'd know by now.
You would think stuff would be picked up by the media, but I will
Dirk
say this. Dirk
Chatelain would have already been all over that shit.
But here's the other thing I'll say. People are always like, oh, this damn Husker media is always ruining things for Nebraska. I've been in areas, in tons of other areas that have major college sports teams. The Nebraska media, for all these people who complain about, they are fully in on the mission with Nebraska football.
Oh, for the most part.
They are there to help make things better for them. Yeah, will they break a story? Sure. But well, largely...
They've got two things that they're working against. One is they've got to sell ads. So they have to do what they got to do to sell ads. And then two, they've also got to be able to keep getting interviews.
But what are you going to do? Just deny interviews? You can't do that.
What?
If you're the Nebraska Athletic Department, you're going to cut off all access to the press just because they broke a news story that was unflattering but true?
No. I'm like, Michigan State level stuff, no. Tyjon Lindsey might have rhabdo.
Well,
sure. Also, if that is true, let's say this. I personally don't know if I buy this whole rhabdo thing yet. We're just doing this because there's not a whole lot to talk about in the middle of, in the end of January. And there's only three recruits on campus this weekend, right? Or five or something like that.
There'll be a flourish at the end.
I still think it's only going to be like seven. They only got so many left.
Yeah.
Like 12 left.
Anyway.
So I don't think that it's true. I don't think this whole rhabdo thing is true.
Well, here's the other thing that so keeps.
Oh no. But what I was going to say. Okay. Hold on. Sorry. Should I before I forget. But if it is true, let's assume for a second that it is true, right? This Michigan State thing sure is going to cover that up for us.
Oh, man. Well, besides Michigan State, one other thing that would keep this from breaking, the only thing that could allow it to break right now would be if Tyjon were to go to a media member, because HIPAA prevents you from digging into these kinds of things. You can't. HIPAA is a law that allows for privacy of patients. The university can't release this.
The NCAA can do an investigation.
They could.
So you're saying when it happened to Iowa State and also to Oregon State or Oregon,
Iowa and Oregon.
Iowa and Oregon.
Right.
Sorry, I listed the two better schools in those states the first time. So one of those students had to go forward?
Yeah. Well, because I one time when I was asking, so I was broadcasting for Wayne State and someone got hurt. At a game at UNK, and just out of curiosity, I just asked the trainer, I was like, just off the record, can you tell me like what the injury is? And she's like, no, I can't. I legally cannot because of HIPAA. So that'll be what keeps it private as long as everyone wants to keep it private. And if you feel like you've been wronged, I could very easily see a student athlete from Oregon or Iowa being like, hey, man, this is what happened. This is gnarly. That's probably how that broke.
Yeah.
Or
there was also like 13 of them at Iowa.
Yeah.
That increases
the odds then of someone being.
Well, and also when it's 13 or whatever it was there, 12, 13, 14, 15, something like that.
That's a rash there.
Yeah, somebody made an error in judgment.
Yeah.
But when it's
that's a different thing. And you can say that's an outlier.
And he just won strength and conditioning coach of the year. It's not like he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
You know, you got to, I mean, unless you're taking like hydration levels before every workout, which you can't do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I imagine there's some nutritional stuff that goes along with his plans as well. And if you don't adhere to that, you're putting yourself at risk. And
yeah.
That's not trying to blame anybody or anything. But again, this was all speculation.
Right.
Now, you mentioned one thing.
Oh, but before that, I just want to say one last thing.
Okay.
Mate Tweety Puke, hashtag Mate Tweety Puke, Zach Duvall. If you're listening, if anybody...
Is he just at Zach Duvall?
I don't know what it is. I'm just assuming that's what it is. It's something like that. At Coach Duvall, at Zach. Just search Zach Duvall on Twitter. Go to at Big
He's
Red
the
Comcast.
One who's the Incredible Hulk in red.
Yeah, and his thing is hashtag war daddy up, which right there, it's like, this is a dude that owns a Harley. This is a dude that goes to Sturgis just to fight people. Like... You know what I'm saying? This is a guy that joined. He was back when the Royal Grove used to do amateur MMA night. I guarantee you, he'd have been there every weekend. Just I don't even know if this is a boning people up. That's what he would call it. I don't even know if that's a thing, but he would bone people up.
He's got to come up with like new. He was in the weight room one day, just like throwing weights around. I was like,
yeah, like,
and people were like, "What does that mean?" I don't know.
Yeah, but look at the guy. Just yell it back at him. Whatever. Like, that's what. Okay. So, anyways, hashtag make tweet a puke.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna do this every week till it happens.
Okay. Yeah. So you mentioned a thing that could possibly, and again, it'll probably remain out of the headlines because the. Nothing will ever be substantiated. But one thing that could keep it buried is, Michigan State, no matter what Nebraska's done in regards to any potential overtraining, this Michigan State thing,
yeah,
way worse.
Way worse.
Now, that said, any fan of any Division I program, be careful of getting on your high horse about it, because... I'll guarantee you Michigan State's not the only one.
Yeah, I guarantee it too.
And
this isn't a thing to cheer for.
No, not at all.
Like, I feel like you're going to see people that are like, yeah, let's get rid of D'Antonio. Yeah, Nebraska. Yeah.
I've already seen and heard people asking, hey, what's the likelihood that some of their recruits can get released? Yeah. Like, that's the wrong answer right now. That's the wrong response.
Yeah, wait till next week for that. Because, I mean, I'm with you. I want those recruits, too. But also, like, let's keep it real, man. Like, these people, you know, I don't mean to sound like some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, Me Too liberal, I guess?
Oh, geez,
I know. But my point is, you got to listen to the victims, man. You have to. You have to listen to them, and you have to take what they're saying as fact until you can prove otherwise. And I'm not saying throw people in prison, because I understand it's guilty until proven innocent, but I'm saying you have to listen to these women. You have to listen to what they're saying. And if the dude's got to go to prison, man.
Yeah, well, obviously Larry Nassar. That guy, I mean, that's Sandusky level, if not worse, because, I mean... He was dealing with people not just at Michigan State, but also through the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team, and most of those girls are minors. I mean, it's terrible, minor or not.
Right.
But obviously more so, because that paints the picture for the rest of your life.
If that was my niece, I would kill him with my bare hands.
I mean, that's...
He's...
You have painted...
How do these chimos go around and not get murdered? How are there not more dads in prison for murdering these guys? I do not understand that.
And then his tone-deaf letter to the judge.
Oh, what was that?
So the judge wanted all of his 100-plus victims to address him in court and have him sit on the stand, so he had to face out and see them and everyone else, and they could all see his response. And then so they didn't have to share their pain with everyone else. It could be just directed right at him. And he said to the judge, he wrote a letter to the judge, is like, I don't think I can handle that. And you know, you're just putting on a show, and this is like, I don't think I can handle the emotional stress of that. I ask that you don't do that. And it was also like not really admitting any guilt or any sort of remorse. And it's like, man, something's broken in that brain.
Well, there's not just that. Like, is that I think that, I mean, I'm not a psych. We're not psychologists. I don't know why we're even putting our two cents in on this, but we're going to, because it's
a podcast. It's the story of
It's the American way, too, to have you have an opinion you don't deserve to have, right?
Yeah. But, so, I mean, it's every college sports fan and even non-college sports fans. It's what they're talking about right now.
Right. And so my thing is that I look at a guy like Nassar or a guy like D'Antonio or a guy like Izzo or a guy like the guys on the teams that actually did the crimes. What's the word I'm looking for?
Enabler?
What? No, like, they did the crimes, but we don't know it. You know, like...
Oh, the accused.
Yeah, the accused. That's not the word. Whatever. But they don't think they did anything wrong, probably. That's why you get these tone-deaf apology letters like Louis C.K. Well, like Louis C.K.'s was sort of tone-deaf. The guy that did it right was the Minnesota senator.
Al Franken.
You know, you get these apologies and stuff.
Even his at times, and... He didn't admit full fault on all of it, but I mean at least acknowledging fault by stepping down is more than a lot of other people do.
Yeah, he was so it's hard to say, like, a guy like Nassar, like, he can justify it in his head, like, that's not even the issue, right? The issue is what is broken in society that these guys think that that's okay. Assuming they did it, you have to, one, understand that...
Well, he's been convicted.
Right. He's been convicted. But I'm saying, like, sometimes, like, there is miscommunication issues between men and women, and one person might think one way, and one person might think another. And that's not what I'm talking about. And I understand that's going to be a huge debate we don't want to get into, right?
Right. And there would be 135 cases of miscommunication here.
Right. But I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about some of the other ones, like with the college players and with young, especially amongst young teenagers when hormones are going absolutely apeshit and you're adding alcohol to a situation and people, you know, they're not developed fully their voices. Like, there's plenty of reasons why those situations are gray area, right? Sometimes. But those aren't what
we can still work to be better, but go on.
Right. But I'm not talking about those gray areas. What I'm talking about are the cut and dry ones where, like a guy like Bill Cosby, like, basically from what I understand, like, a lot of what he said was like, that's just what people did. That's society being broken. That's not Bill Cosby being broken.
Right.
I mean,
right about society being broken. I delayed answered.
Right. I mean, you know,
they're both.
I'm not trying to take away from Bill Cosby, but people. We'll talk about this off air. But that's my point. So, anyways,
but positions of power set the tone and create environments where things are acceptable and not acceptable. It's real easy to look at Larry Nassar and say, oh, what a terrible person, because he committed those exact acts. And you can say, oh, well, there are 135 of them or whatever. We know that he did this, and we know that he was a terrible, predatory person. Where it becomes tougher but still needs to be done is there's an administration, both athletically and academically, that saw the potential ramifications of bad publicity and instead of accepting the bad publicity, enabled the behavior. And then...
And was told about it like 11 times. They had 11 times when they could have put a stop to it.
And then on top of that, so you can look at the Nassar thing all you want, but at an overall culture there in East Lansing, and it's why Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo are under the heat lamp right now, is because, okay, so you don't have this clear Jerry Sandusky-like personality here, but you have expunged the records of cases of domestic and sexual abuse against students, potentially by some of your student athletes, all in a very clear and calculated attempt to keep the record of your team clean. That's no better.
No,
that's no better. And it, you know, we've we've been called hypocrites on this show because we've criticized Bo Pelini for things like that, but not gone after Mike Riley.
Because of the way Mike Riley handled it.
Right. Because he's admitted fault. He's atoned for his errors.
Like
Mark D'Antonio and Tom Izzo stood up and said, "We've done nothing wrong."
Right. If I was accused of sexual assault or something like that, right?
Right.
I would hope everybody that knows me gave me the benefit of the doubt. I can understand that aspect of it. I can understand wanting to believe your players. But once evidence is brought forth, it's like, dude, homeboy did it, right?
Right.
You have to step back, and you still love them. You still care about them. That doesn't change. But, you know, people got to pay for their sins.
Right. And to get to your point earlier, and to get back to that of...
And I don't think that means that the kids are bad. I don't think it means that these players are bad people. It could be lapse of judgment. It could be a million things, but it could also be that they're shitty people.
Right. I will absolutely agree with that last part.
I mean, it could be, you know, there's a lot of things that go into a lot of things.
And I think that...
Put that on a t-shirt.
I think... The benefit of the doubt needs to more often go to the person who's been victimized than the person who has not in the alleged scenario.
Yeah, I think that also everybody needs – I think that one thing people also need to like look at more than any of those other two things is find out what the truth is too.
Oh, always. Yeah. But you know. I mean – But there's right now the benefit of the doubt, and I get part of it. It's the way our justice system is structured, but disproportionately so, the benefit of the doubt goes to the accused than the accuser.
Well, I think that's because it's hard to prove.
Right.
Most of the time, there's two people there, and it becomes he said, she said, and unless there's a violent. Unless it's like a violent encounter.
And then it doesn't always, I mean.
Most times it does. I mean, I guess I don't know that for a fact. But I'd be willing to bet that if I were, you know, people try to act like people are against everybody. But if you come in with bruises and black eyes and shit, and you know, I would like to believe that most judges are going to be like, oh, shit, I don't think she likes that.
Yeah. But, so, I mean. I won't bring up the Kobe case. We're drifting too far off there,
right.
But there was physical evidence there. Anyway, you brought up the point of it feels like because it's a rival team for some people that there's a celebration
mm-hmm.
of it of just a Schadenfreude kind of thing.
Right.
People did that with Penn State, and. There needs to be a backing off of that, for one, have a little sensitivity for the issue.
For sure.
But also, two, like, and I said it before, like, in an era where there was less investigative journalism in sports and there wasn't social media, don't think that there wasn't that same kind of thing at virtually every program. Including our very own.
I would say, look in the 90s, man. It wasn't...
And again...
There was a lot of accusations that never really amounted to much.
Right. And it kind of goes back to some of what I mentioned where the Nebraska media and the Nebraska athletic administration work hand in hand a lot of times because they know... They each help each other.
Well,
it's a symbiotic relationship.
It's in Lincoln Journal Star's best interest to have a successful Nebraska program.
Right. You sell a lot more papers, like commemorative Nebraska national championship papers, than you do, oh man, another 5-7 season.
Yeah, another 8-4, 4-8.
They don't. That doesn't do you well. And so, I mean, there can be a symbiotic relationship, especially if you have charming coaches and administrators. Who are like, oh man, this guy's a good guy. You got to trust me. I'm around him every day. And
because, well, you can be both. People can be both. There's a duality of character in people.
Right. We were talking about that on our Facebook Live earlier today.
You can be both good and bad. Like, for me to sit here and act like I haven't done some, like, seriously shitty things in my life is crazy. And anybody that's
sitting, list them.
Oh, I don't want to. And when I was younger, I made a lot of, especially when I was younger, I made a lot of dumb decisions. And I think that anybody right now that's going, well, I haven't, you're so full of shit. You might not think you have, which is sort of dangerous as well.
Yeah. Well, and that's how you get the sociopathic kind of nature of a Larry Nassar. He doesn't think he did anything wrong.
Right.
And to go, and I'll say this too, you know, you talk about making mistakes when you're younger and having...
Pat was a serial murderer when he was 17 years old.
On top of the making mistakes when you're younger, but and tying it into the media maybe going soft on things, when I was a young journalist, I got occasionally intimidated by administrators. It's, you know, that I got called in by an athletic administrator once, like when I became a play-by-play guy for a college team the first time, and I had also covered a newspaper story where this particular college had maybe been in the wrong on something, and then that same newspaper issued an editorial piece that came from the editorial board, and they assumed, because when those editorial pieces come out, they don't have a byline. They come from the newspaper, and they assumed I had written it. So they called me, an athletic director called me into the office and said, basically, you know, it's okay to be a homer, and just like in a very like, hey, I'm being friendly, but seriously, don't you dare say a bad word about this program kind of way, like a kind of under the surface threatening kind of way. I've seen these scenarios and I see how they happen. And especially if you're maybe either a little bit young or intimidated or weak of mind, which I'm not saying I am, but like if you're,
I'll say it for you.
Okay. If you're easily scared or intimidated or threatened, or
you're just listing off everything I think about you.
I know. But if you're not quite confident enough...
If you're tall and you're lanky and your chest does this weird thing where it looks like you have AIDS in your chest and...
If you're not quite confident enough in what you're doing, it could be real easy to be essentially complicit in an administrator, in an administration doing something shady.
Right.
And so, yeah, there we go. I rambled that off.
Right. Man, we just talked about rape for 30 minutes.
Sorry, guys.
No, I'm not sorry. Like, talk about it, man. Go.
I mean, yeah, that's
true. You
want to
know something? Actually, let me say this. If you have a son, go talk to your son and tell your son, like, hey, man, don't be an asshole.
Here are the behaviors that are acceptable. Here are the ones that are not. And here are the ones that might feel borderline to you. Err on the side of caution.
Right. And don't turn into one of these, like, women can be real bitches, son. Don't do that. Just go in and say, hey, man, I'm sure you're doing all the right things, but just so you know, these are the right things. And maybe, just maybe, also go talk to your daughters and say, hey, be aware of your surroundings. And I want to be careful because I don't want to be accused of victim blaming because that's not my intention. But it's not a horrible idea to make sure that your daughters understand that not every guy is safe and not every situation is safe and that they shouldn't put themselves in dangerous situations if they can avoid them.
Right.
You know, like maybe that's the first step is talking to our sons and daughters. I have neither, so I don't talk to anybody, so you do it. You know, you do it. I don't want to do it. I ain't got no kids.
Me neither.
I got 2 dogs and they ain't doing nothing wrong, so.
Okay, so... What else did we have on the docket today?
That's it. We literally covered it all.
We covered it all?
Yeah. Make Tweety puke. Hashtag make Tweety puke. Hashtag.
And if you're of an age where you didn't come up with Twitter, recognize, don't put spaces between the words.
Yeah, don't put it. And also, you can.
On a hashtag.
Just call the university. If you don't know how to use Twitter, just call them.
send a letter.
Send a, yeah, handwritten a letter. But I want this. So
I know you do. I was honestly surprised that you hadn't said this. You hadn't pushed for this sooner.
I've been talking about, I was talking about this under Mark Phillips.
Yeah.
You know.
But when Duvall came in, because he seems even more your style.
Yeah. Just aggro and yelling. I love that.
But he seems like probably a fairly sweet dude.
Like, yeah, like he's probably like
he seems like a family man.
Yeah, like I like the guys.
Not that there aren't shitty family men, but
right.
But plenty. He seems like a nice person and like who like basically penned a love letter to Orlando and the UCF community after they left. Chenander did the same thing. Like these guys seem to have it.
Right.
Like
there's a level of compassion that you, they seem to have, yeah.
Did you see the Twitter video that
why
went
are you
up?
Crying, Pat?
I'm not crying. I'm not. I mean, it's not out of the question, but did you see the Twitter video that got posted the other day? So the coaching staff is making their rounds in Omaha high schools, and I want to say it was Burke, where they dropped in to a SPED classroom to just like make these people
special
feel,
education.
Yeah. Make them feel like special and wanted. Like that's an extra 5 seconds that a lot of coaches wouldn't make. Like I'm too busy. I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Like that's a cool move and a cool moment. And but it also, I mean, it serves a purpose too, because you're getting the entire state behind you.
Yeah.
And to do that, like you got to show a little that you care about the rest of the state that can't come in and carry a football for 1,000 yards.
Right.
And that, because those will be the people behind you. And I think that's a moment that I think was a good one.
I think that we're about to experience another golden age in Husker football. I don't know if that means national championships or what that means, but I do think for the first time in this millennium, we're going to have a football team that we can be proud of.
Yeah. I agree. I think that's, yeah, because even, so you go into this millennium, 2001, Nebraska made a national championship game, and they won, and Eric Crouch won a Heisman Trophy, and they won a great game against an Oklahoma team that wasn't quite the same level of the Oklahoma teams, the Oklahoma team that had just won a national championship. Like, Nebraska played.
Then they got housed.
Right.
By Colorado
and Miami. Nebraska played a little bit of, they punched a little bit above their weight that year and then came back crashing to earth. So even the best season.
Which, if you go back to old Paul Dalen, he would have told you that was going to happen.
Yeah. But so even the best season in this millennium had the most disappointing finish that you could have. There's been one season that finished with positive momentum, I think, in this entire millennium.
And that's Riley's first year.
No.
Yes. Which one are you thinking? 2010?
But that was a 5-7, or the 6-7 season.
Yeah, but I've never been more excited after a 6-7 season than I was at the end of that season. Are you going to say 2009 or something?
I was going
like
to say 2009.
Yeah.
But even then, there were some blemishes in that season, getting trucked by Iowa State and Texas Tech that season at home, but finishing with basically beating Texas in the Big 12 championship game and then destroying a very good Arizona team that had a quarterback who's now in the Super Bowl.
I was at that game.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Arizona versus Sue game, I was there.
It wasn't just Sue. Niles Paul had a hell of a game.
Yeah, but Sue, boy. I remember sitting at a bar beforehand, and there was two guys, and they're like, we're going to run and pass all over you. We're going to put up so many yards. And I go, you know who Sue is? And the guy goes, no.
Well, that guy's
hold
just
on,
an idiot.
Yeah, hold on. So then the guy next to him goes, oh, you don't know who Sue is? He's going to destroy us.
Sue should have been the Heisman Trophy winner that year.
He should have been. He should have been.
Why can't I think of the guy's name right now? I honestly think the third best candidate there won the Heisman Trophy. Mark Ingram was not the most deserving guy.
Was it Leinart?
No, Toby Gerhart is who. Leinart was a few years prior to
Wait,
that.
So who was
Mark Ingram won.
Sue came in second.
Sue actually came in third.
He did? I thought he came in second.
He came in just a little bit behind Toby Gerhart.
I'm going to Google that.
It was very close, but Gerhart did end up passing him.
Okay.
But if it wasn't going to be Sue, it should have been Toby Gerhart, but Sue should have won.
Yeah. Because he was a game-changing player.
Yeah.
He's what I think Micah Parsons is going to end up being.
Yeah.
Man, we're going to have to play him like twice, too.
Ugh. At least.
Yeah, at least twice.
Because, I mean, could be a Big Ten championship game.
But then again, you know, Warren Sapp was a Ndamukong Suh type, and look what we did to him.
Man, it wasn't just Warren Sapp in that game either. Ray Lewis.
Yeah.
I mean, there so much talent on that team.
Yeah, but we also had, I mean, we had talent too.
Yeah, and it was there was contrasting styles. You try and find a style that allows you to negate the strengths of the other team. And that's essentially what the new version of the Frost offense does.
Yeah, which I'm so excited about.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I hope some level of success can happen early to keep, and I've said this before, I think the Wolves will be at bay longer, but keep them from starting to even have a whisper of a howl. But also, I almost think, don't overachieve too early, like build to it, because Harbaugh, I think,
came out swinging so hard
and then
petered
like,
off.
And you have to.
But didn't he sound like a 100-year contract?
No, it wasn't that long. I don't know what it was, but either way, like you have to have some level of realism for like building to the success. And I think Michigan fans have gotten unrealistic because they lost almost every starter going into this last year. And then they're like, oh, it was a regression. Of course it was a regression.
Well, I don't think that Harbaugh's that great of a recruiter once you see through all of his weird Michael Jackson-esque tactics.
But he is, and he's a good coach.
He's
like,
a good coach, yeah.
Because Stanford was terrible when he took over there, and then he made them.
I think that Harbaugh bought in too much to the old Harbaugh's the king.
I think so
and
too.
And then he started trying to make headlines. Well, he turned into what Tim Miles turned into.
Yeah, and
but Tim Miles seems to be kind of learning from his mistakes. We'll see how Harbaugh does.
Well, and on top of that, Harbaugh, you know, I don't think Frost has the same personality as him, so I don't think there's the risk, but Harbaugh was essentially to Michigan what Scott Frost was to Nebraska coming home. Both guys with really, really good resumes and the hometown heroes who everybody had their sights on being the head coach. And maybe Frost has seen a little bit what happened to Harbaugh and maybe it's kind of tempered things, but I also think, you know, he's just a little bit different personality.
It's also a little bit earlier in his career to find out. Nobody would have guessed that Harbaugh was going to be all weird as shit.
I mean, it was right away that first summer where he was, like, running shirtless with recruits.
Yeah, and sleeping in their treehouses and shit or whatever the hell he did.
That's weird.
It's weird.
It makes
weird
headlines.
It's Michael Jackson caliber weird.
I mean,
dude,
you see
if
right
if Harbaugh's
now
recruiting my son and he's like, I'm going to sleep in your treehouse. And I'm like, no, you're not, dude. You're going to go sleep
I imagine
in the hotel.
He's also feeling out his audience, too, like reading the room as far
reading
as
reading the room. What room do you need to read where you think it's okay to sleep in a 17-year-old's treehouse? What? First of all, in what world does a 17-year-old have a treehouse?
That's another reasonable question. But I think Harbaugh also understands.
Also, is the treehouse thing real, or am I making that up in my head?
No, I don't think he like stayed the whole night, but he went up in a treehouse, yeah.
Okay, so it is weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think he's from the school of thought that right now is being kind of used in politics, where you just make the biggest headline and then let the news be like, what in the world is going on? And then all of a sudden you're making headlines. Like, you do a weird thing, people run with it, and then all of a sudden you've got the headlines.
It's like the Bo Pelini camera.
The what?
The Bo Pelini camera.
The Bo Pelini camera.
There's a camera aimed at Bo Pelini at all times.
Well, yeah.
An extra camera.
If you make
headlines for being crazy.
If you make a show that's going to happen, and you know he claims to probably hate that extra camera, well, don't be an asshole all the time on the sidelines, and it won't be a thing.
Right.
Don't give ESPN something to be like, well, we better watch this.
Yeah, because he's going to do something crazy. Yeah. I don't know, man. We've been talking for a long time.
We have been.
You ready to call it a day?
Yeah, we got wound up a couple times today.
Yeah, well, I think it was a good talk.
Good talk. Cool. Go Big Red. Nope. You was about to say something.
Well, no, we still need a better out.
We just don't have it. Guys, tweet at us at Big Red Cobcast if you can think a good way for us to end our podcast. Because obviously we're not doing the old Mike Riley outro.
Yeah, and Go Big Red just feels too easy. And Husker Power feels contrived because it's like, I say it, then you say it back. It feels contrived.
Do you think it's contrived in the stadium?
It's
cool as hell in the stadium.
Yeah, it's cool as hell in the stadium, but it's not cool as hell here.
All right.
It also doesn't sound like a finality either.
All right.
But for now.
Okay.
Go Big Red!
Go Big Red!
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.
The Sea of Red, Husker Nation.
See what makes Nebraska fans the greatest fans in college football with a new movie directed by Lincoln native Ryan Tweedy.
Through These Gates.
The perfect gift for Husker fans.
Available on DVD now at huskerfilm.com.